the game is played. Right. You know, in the I don't follow American football, but I got interested when Jared Hayne, if you remember who Jared Hayne was, represented the Fiji Mbati. Then he went on to play American football in America. So the very limited knowledge I know about American football is, you know, there's an offensive team, there's an attacking team, sorry, offensive team, and there's a defensive team. And you have different people, the linebacker and whatnot, the positions. But there's one position that we all know, and I know, is the quarterback. The quarterback is like, he's there at the back, he will receive the ball, and he's going to call out the plays. Right? He call out the codes. Okay, this is the code that we're going to do. This is, you'll run this way, you'll run this way, and I'll throw the ball. So this guy, his name is Roger Staubach. He was the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys is an American football team in America. He led the Dallas Cowboys to the World Championship in the year 1971. And he admitted that his position as a quarterback was a very difficult one. The reason why it was difficult for him, because he didn't call his own signals, or he didn't call his own shots. In other words, his coach would always call every shot. The coach will tell him when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could he change the play, and he had better be right about it. So even though this guy Roger considered, this guy the quarterback, Roger considered his coach, the coach's name was Landry, even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind, when it came to football strategy, pride said that he should be the one to run his own team. And then Roger later said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. And once I learned to obey, there was harmony, there was fulfillment, there was joy, and there was victory. Church, this morning, to obey is to follow instructions, to come under authority, to submit to authority. And submission is something that we struggle with. We don't want to submit to authority. Children refuse to submit to their parents. Wives refuse to submit to their husbands. People in church refuse to submit to the standards of ministry or even to their pastor. And Christians, sometimes they refuse to submit to God. And the text we're about to read this morning is very simple, very straightforward. James here he describes the key to resisting the devil, and that is to submit to God. This morning I want to preach on a sermon that I've entitled, very simple, Submit to God. James chapter 4 verse 7. James chapter 4 verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's pray. Father, my God, I commit to you, Lord, this message I'm asking, Father, that your word, God, will achieve the purposes God is intended for. God, let your word not return void this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Firstly, this morning, I want to talk about submitting. Now, if you've ever seen two dogs, how many of you have dogs? You have dogs? If you've ever seen two dogs fight, or even if they are playing, you know, sometimes they are fighting, but they're not actually fighting. It's like a game for them. You will notice that when one of them loses, or when one of them is losing, he instantly recognizes the other as the dominant one, and he recognizes the other as like the male alpha. And what he does to demonstrate this, he wags his tail. Sometimes he lies on his back, and he exposes his throat, exposes his stomach to the victorious one in a very vulnerable position, because one bite to the throat could really prove fatal. But he'd understand that he needs to be in this vulnerable position so that it doesn't get hurt anymore. So the idea of submission is such: you place yourself vulnerable, you give up your pride, you give up your own preconceived knowledge, your own ideas, you give up how you feel, your emotions or your attitude, because you want to embrace and submit to an ideal that is higher than you, to an ideal that you love and you're willing to give up everything for. And we see this a lot in the military, in the disciplined forces, particularly in the police and the army. They come under headship. They deny themselves. They give up some of their own privileges. If you if you've been coming for Sunday school, we've been covering this in Sunday school. They give up their own privileges, their own comforts, their own desires. They give up their own ideas of what they feel is right. They realign their life in submission, and they surrender their will, trusting in the authority that they're submitting into. And how many of you know this morning, in the kingdom of God, there's no difference. That is the ideal for you and I, to submit to God. Now, the moment I did this back in 2014, the moment I gave my life to Jesus, the moment I submitted and surrendered my will to His, my life has never been the change. My life has never been the same, sorry. God has done great things in our lives, transformed me, my wife, transformed our value system, transformed our thinking, and He's continuing to do that today. In our text this morning, James here is saying, submit to God. Even the devil knows the importance of submission. If you remember the story of Jesus, you know, after He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came and tested Him. And one of His tests, he wanted Jesus to submit to Him. You read this in Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. He says, "And again the devil took Him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to Him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship Me.'" So think about this with me for a moment. You know, if the devil knows the importance of submission, you know, if the devil knows that it's important to submit, what will he try and do? Yes, of course, he will try and get you to rebel. He will try and get you to not submit. He'll try to make you instead to please the devil or submit to the devil rather than submitting to God. In our text, James is saying, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, the problem with men in general, when I say men, I mean mankind, we refuse to submit. We refuse to submit to authority in general. We like to do our own thing. Joseph, there, my son, he likes to do his own thing. Joseph will do what Joseph wants. Moses, my son, Moses will do what Moses wants. Sometimes we refuse to submit to the mandate of those in authority, the mandate of the government. And the government says, move to higher ground, tsunami is coming. We go to the seawall, take pictures, and stay there, wait for the tsunami to come. The government says, wear masks. We refuse to do it. We just do our own thing. And the government says, get vaccinated. We say, no, I won't. We refuse to submit. No, we refuse to submit to the mandate of our parents. I remember when I was still at home, I was at uni. I just finished uni. I just graduated. I started a job. And as I started earning an income, I worked as a teacher. I started earning an income. My dad told me, hey, you need to give some money here. You need to contribute here at home. And I said, hey, I'm just starting the job. Let me enjoy my money for some time. That was just an excuse for me because, you know, I was into partying. I was into alcohol. I was drinking a lot. I wanted to do my own thing. Even my dad was telling me to give him all my money and that he will help me save it. You know, he was willing to do that for me. I refused to do that. And I ended up moving out of the house. I ended up going and renting on my own. Why? Because I wanted to do my own thing. I refused to come under submission. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." In school, for young people here in school generally, you know, we want to be rebels. We don't want to submit to the school rules. and what our teachers say. We always want to do our own thing. I remember when I was in school, I didn't like to follow the rules. I wanted to, the school says, wear sandal, I wore flip-flop to school. The school say, cut your hair, I grew on punk and I hide it here at the back. And this is also true in the church world. Many of us refuse to submit to God, refuse to submit to His will. We come to church, but we continue to do our own thing at home, continue to do our own thing in private, continue to do our own thing in our schools, not living for God. Some of us say, I will come to church, but I will continue to live a secret life of sin, a life of immorality. I will continue to do what I want and not what God wants me to do. God wants us to surrender. God wants us to be holy, to live a life that is sanctified and set apart. Some of us will say, I will come to church, but I cannot come for morning prayer because I want to sleep in. I want to do my own thing. Some of us will say, I will come to church, but I will not be involved in ministry because the standard is too much for me. I will just do what I want, not what God wants. Some say, I will come to church, but I will not be involved in outreach because Saturday or Friday evening is my time to relax. That is my time with my friends. Some even say, I will come to church, sing, but I won't clap. I remember in our church in Nusra, there was a guy there. When he would have, when I would address something with him, I would address some issues with him, and when we would have our song service, he'll just be going like this. He'll sing the song. Jeez, he'll go like this. With hands to the back. He won't clap. Why? Because he wants to do what he wants. How many of you know, church, praise and worship, yeah, that's the time for God. It's not about us. It's not about how you feel. It's about you worshiping, you and I worshiping God, lifting up our hands. That's why we shout. That's why we lift up our hands. I'm sure when the Fiji team play, we can do that. We'll shout, we'll cheer. But this is the great God that we serve. And why? Because we don't want to submit to His will. We just want to do our own thing. So not submitting is Aaron will do what Aaron wants to do. When we do not submit, there are problems that can arise. There are consequences. There are effects. So secondly, this morning, I want to talk about the effects of not submitting. Now, I shared with you the story when I disagreed with my dad and I moved out of the house to go and rent. I refused to submit to my parents' authority, which was to contribute to our livelihood at home. So I chose to go out and rent and did my own thing. And the result of that, let me just share with you the story, what happened. One, I was always broke. I never had any money. No, I was a teacher back then, the school here in Lodhala. Don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to go out and rent. But if you're serving God and you go out and rent, it's a good thing to do. I was in the world. I was living for the devil. So I went out to rent. And there was a canteen there. The canteen was there. And the canteen was selling lunch, selling good food, lunch and breakfast. So for us, we would always eat from the canteen. Breakfast and lunch. At home, we just had to prepare one meal, dinner. So we would eat from the canteen. Not buying, credit. Credit from the canteen. For 2 weeks, we would do that for 2 weeks. Lunch, breakfast. So we wake up from home, go to the canteen, breakfast, lunch. And write down the thing. We'll tell the owner, write it down. So when payday comes, first go to the canteen to clear your debt. And whatever money is left, the nightclub take it. And that's how I live. That's how I live. Always broke, bound by a lifestyle of drunkenness, bound by a lifestyle of drugs and immorality. But the main reason why I also wanted to flat out was because I wanted to have my girlfriend, who's now my wife, to come and stay with me. We were living together in sin. And that is all the result of not submitting. We were living together in sin. I wasn't just broke. I was living an immoral life. I was far away from God. And I did a lot of stupid things that I regretted. Why? Because I did not submit. This is the result of not submitting, the result of doing my own thing. You know, the Bible also has stories of people, powerful men of God, who did not submit to God. You had the story of Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah? He was told to go to Nineveh. Instead, he went the other way. He went to Tarshish. And the result of that, there was a downward spiral for Jonah. He kept going down and down and down. If you read Jonah 1, Jonah chapter 1 verse 3 says, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And if you remember, if you know the story, Jonah also went down into the ocean. So there was this down, down, down. Down to Tarshish, down in the ship, down in the ocean. Down on spiral when you decide to do your own thing and not submit to God. Not only that, the story goes on to say that when he was in the boat, they encountered a huge storm. And other people in the boat were also affected by this storm. And for us this morning, you know, other people can also suffer. Other people can also be impacted. Other people can also be in trouble or affected because you chose not to submit. Your family can be impacted. Your wife can be impacted. Your husband, your children can be impacted. All because you chose not to submit and continue to do your own thing. If you remember the children of Israel, on their way from Egypt into the promised land, they were in the wilderness. They were not submitted to the will of God. They wanted to do their own thing. You know, the will of God for them was to free them from slavery and take them into this promised land, and for them to live according to his ways, according to his statutes and his laws. But what did they do? They did their own thing. They complained. No, the moment Moses left them on their own, they created for themselves an idol and began to worship it. They tried to do their own thing. And the result of that, they remain in the wilderness for 40 years. Some commentators said, you know, if you were to march from Egypt to Canaan, if you were to go straight on a straight line, it would take just 2 weeks to reach the promised land. Some say 2 months. But imagine 40 years just going round and round in circles. Why? Because they did not submit. Is that you this morning? You've remained in the wilderness. There is no breakthrough. There is no direction. You're frustrated. There's an attitude of doubt. There's an attitude of defeat. Feels like you're going around in circles. There's no advance. Maybe because you have not fully submitted to the will of God. Now the question I want to ask us this morning, why is it that we do not submit? Why? Sometimes we think that we know what's best for us. We think that we know better than God. There's this story about this baseball manager, you know, in America, in the minor league. Minor league is where the children play in America. So this is a story about this manager of a minor league baseball team. He was so frustrated with one of his players. This player was in the center field. So he was so disgusted with the center fielder's performance that he ordered this player to come out, and he went in and took up his position. So the first ball came into the center field. It took a bad hop, it took a bounce, and the manager wanted to catch it. It missed his hand, hit him in the mouth. So the next one was flying high. While he was trying to catch it, through the glare of the sun got into his eyes, and the ball bounced off his forehead. And the third ball that came to him, the third was a hard line drive that unfortunately flew between his hands and smacked him in the face. He was very furious. He ran back to the sideline. He grabbed the center fielder, the guy who was there initially, the player. He grabbed him by the uniform and shouted, "You idiot! You've got center field so messed up that even I can't do a thing with it." Because this manager thought that the best thing for him to do was to step in and replace the player himself. He thought that this was the right thing to do. Ended up being a disaster. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." I felt that it was the right thing for me to move out of the house and go and rent. I thought I was doing the right thing. For me, that was the right thing to do. I ended up broke. I ended up living a life of immorality. I ended up doing a lot of stupid things, which I regret up to this day. You know, sometimes we feel that we know what's best for us. And that's why we don't submit to God. Because we feel this is right, this is what I want, and this is what I will do. We pray about it, we bring it to God in prayer, and we tell God, God, let your will be done. But in practice, we do our own will. Now, sometimes people do not submit to God because they refuse to let go of what is dear to them. Maybe something from the past, past lifestyle, past life, feel comfortable, end up fixed in their ways. It's hard for them to change. For some, it's just too hard trying to live for God because sin is just too comfortable. Sin is much easier. I remember when I was when I started coming to church, I told myself, you know, Sunday was usually our day of relaxation, a day for us to recover. Recovery on Sunday. We would be out all night on Saturday, so Sunday just sleep in, recover. And it took me quite a while to get used to the routine of coming to church. Why? Because I was so comfortable in my past life. It was difficult for me to adjust. Church, if we can't let go of some things we hold dear and we don't submit to God, that means there are things that have taken precedence over God in our lives. Things have become so important to us that God has taken a second place, third place, and these things are far more important to you than God. Maybe money, maybe a career, maybe the things of this world, whatever it is. Can I encourage you this morning? Let's realign ourselves, our priority. Sometimes we don't submit to God because we just want to please men. Our friends. I remember talking to some of the guys who've been reaching out to some of the people in this neighborhood. And they said that they cannot come to church because they'll be viewed by their friends as being disloyal. Disloyal to the gang, disloyal to the group, disloyal to the family. Some feel they cannot do the will of God because they may miss out on some of the fun. Some feel, this was me. When I was in uni, I told myself, I'll wait. I'll experience uni first. I'll go through this. Then when I'm done, because I wanted to have fun. No, to believe that it is, that sin is much better than living for God, and that you're missing out on some fun when you're going to live for God, let me tell you, that's a lie from the devil. The only thing that you're going to miss out when you live for God is you're going to miss out on hell. You're going to miss out on having a lung disease because you smoke. You're going to miss out on having teenage pregnancy and STD. You're going to miss out on a life fueled by drugs and alcohol, addiction. And you're going to miss out on pain and suffering that is associated with this world. When you live for God, you don't miss out on anything. And let me tell you, submission this morning is the key. And as I bring this to a close, thirdly, I want to talk about submitting to God. Submit to God. Church, that is the key this morning to resisting the devil. In our text this morning, James is saying, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When James wrote this letter, he was the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. And he would have observed his congregation was struggling with many of the issues that we struggle with ourselves today. And here he is telling them, hey, the key to resisting the devil is submission. Church, this morning, it will be very difficult to resist the devil and his schemes if you yourself don't submit to God. Now, the devil looks at you and tells you, how dare you try and resist me when you yourself have not submitted to your God? How dare? Most of you know my story. I was a drug addict for so many years. And I tried to free myself from the habit. But the devil got a hold on me. Why? Because I did not submit to God. I tried to free myself using my own ways. I tried my own effort. But the moment I submitted to God, the moment I gave my life to Jesus, that was it. My drug addiction was gone. I was set free. The devil could not have any more hold on me over drugs. I would see people who were smoking and it wouldn't even itch me. It wouldn't even appeal to me anymore. Why? Because I've submitted to God. And now I'm able to resist the devil. If you want to resist the devil this morning, then submit to God. Now, submission to God is something that cannot be forced. You need to have that desire within you that you want to submit to God because you love Him, because you want to please Him more than anything else. There was this story about this husband and wife. This husband, he was like a commander in his house. He was like a dictator. He demanded that his wife conform to everything, every demand that he has, especially what he chooses. He demanded that from his wife. She was to do certain things for him as a wife, as a mother, as a homemaker. So in time, the wife grew to hate this man. She began to hate him. She hated this man because of his rules and all his regulations. Then one day, this man died. He died. Later, this woman, she fell in love with another man and married him. So she and a new husband, they lived a life of like a honeymoon all the time. So joyfully, she devoted herself to his happiness and to his welfare. So one day, she came across one of those sheets that her husband had in the list of demands. You need to do this, you need to do that. You know, like the previous husband had for her. She looked up that sheet and then she realized, to her amazement, she found out that she was doing for her second husband what the first husband always demanded from her. Even though her new husband had never once suggested it to her, she did it out of her own willingness. She did it as an expression of love for him and a desire to please him. Church, submission to God is something that you need and I to desire from within. You cannot be conforming to it because your pastor is looking. You cannot be doing it because your home care leader is asking you to do it. You cannot be doing it because it's a standard of ministry and it's required of you. It's something that we want to do because we love God, we want to please God, and we want to live for Him. And Jesus, this morning, Jesus was the greatest role model for submission. He did it right to the point of his death. In Luke 24:42, he's saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Imagine this. The Son of God knew that for God to save us, if God was to save us, then he had to come under submission to his Father's will. Jesus knew that he had to do that. What about you and I this morning? Are we willing to submit to our Heavenly Father? And I've mentioned this already. One of the best decisions I've ever made was to surrender my life and give it over to Jesus. To come under the headship of my pastor and submit my will to the will of God for me and my family. And I'm sure some of us here have done it. Some of us here are halfway there or three-quarter way there. Some of us are yet to fully submit. Let me tell you this morning, submission is the key. Hallelujah. That's all I have. Can I have every head bowed, every eyes closed? Respect to God, with respect to the person sitting beside you. James